health and all the responsibilities of life, you start to try to get a group of people to cooperate on something, and, oh man, I can't do this, and all of a sudden you go, God is my helper? No, that's a question. We can boldly say, God is my helper, which is way different from going, God is my helper? No, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And now, because He's my helper, I don't have to be afraid. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm certain that God reveals Himself in a lot of different ways. In Proverbs, it tells us that He takes the weak things and confounds the strong. He takes the simple things and He confounds the wise. He takes those who are last and makes them first, and those who are first and makes them last. He takes the one who grabs and keeps and gathers, and he disperses that for someone else. And the one that disperses and spreads and shares, he has more left over than what's needed. I was encouraged by something a long time ago and reminded of it today. My brother Steve and I had a discussion about a lot of things, and we continue to have discussion throughout our life. And as Steve became my pastor, I shared with him some of my concerns spiritually. And some of those surround things I don't know enough about in the Bible. And Steve shared with me this thought: when I need it, God will provide it. Now, it's not an excuse to not study and show yourself approved to God, but it is a knowledge that God is going to use the scripture to thoroughly equip the man of God. And that the Lord will help us. And I remember the first time I really had a thought of this. I had a work area, and I ran a Dusenberry, and it was about 70 inches wide and about that long, maybe a little longer. And it was a winder and unwinder material, and it had knives that cut it in the middle. Interesting thing was, my dad came to get me at work one day, and he walked in and he looked at that machine. And he said, you know what? I ran a machine just like this when you was born. Isn't that interesting? Because it's a unique machine, and I've only seen one. Not that I've seen all the machines there are to see and seen a lot, but it's only I seen one, and was an interesting thing I shared with my dad. He knew about my machine, and we could talk about it. But I was looking at the scripture, and I came up on the scripture in Hebrews. And if we look down through that first couple verses there, we come to about verse 5, and it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, look at the definition of covetousness. And then you'll see why God put it right at the end of the Ten Commandments, because it covers a lot of ground. But it says, and be content with such things as ye have. It's a lack of being content, and being content is what God wants us to have. Over in Corinthians, He tells us, godliness with contentment is great gain. It says, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This morning we talked about the cheer that we find in the presence of God. In God's presence in our life and in our situation. And we find a cheer there, but we also find courage. And I think it's a wonderful promise. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, only believers have this promise of the Word of God. And the Lord gives us some instruction that is going to help us to benefit from this promise. It says, be content with such things you have. Let your conversation be without covetousness. For He hath said, He's enough. When we are not satisfied, there might be a lot of reasons ultimately we're not satisfied with God. If my wife gets to feeling discontented, it could start out with the person at Walmart who made her wait extra time in line, and then it's the drivers in the other cars, and then it sure is hot today and I had to wait a couple extra minutes at a stop sign, and the person walked across the stoplight awful slow, and then if this continues, next thing you know, it'll be the kids left this on the floor. You know what I'm doing at that point? I'm saying, oh Lord, I know it's going to be me before too long. Because when you get discontented, your discontent and your heart, just whatever subject's in front of you, one thing's as good as another. And I'm thinking, oh no, it's coming to me. It's coming to me. And that's the way that this works in our life. If we're not satisfied and it starts to manifest, eventually it's going to land on God. And the very first thing in the garden was, God's not a good God because he's holding you back. You'll eat off this tree and you'll know good and evil. And why is God keeping you back from that? Well, God was keeping back in a way of protection, and it was a blessing not to know about every evil in the world. And sometimes, and then some of you will understand this, some knowledge is definitely a burden. And quite often I'll say to somebody, you just don't need to know about that. I know, and it hurts my mind when I shut my eyes. I don't want to give you that burden. I don't want to have you carry that. I'll carry that. Sometimes we just need to trust the Lord. In verse 6, and I find this extremely interesting, so that we may boldly say, first of all, we have God, he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. It's two separate things, leave or nor forsake. So that we may boldly say. And it's nice that we say it boldly. It's a confidence and a faith so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I thought about this in a different way. Megan, could you help me? Do you guys believe that Megan is willing to help me? I can boldly say that Megan is my helper. Can you help me too, Sarah? You a little nervous? Okay, you and Megan are going to have a little fist fight. You guys think you can do that? No, I'm kidding. Now, I can boldly say that Megan and Sarah are my helpers. Yesterday I had Jake, and he was being my helper, and it was his job to be very attentive to the job, and I was working up, and he was handing me and dipping my paintbrush and doing some things like that. And next thing you know, he got to play it with something else, right, Jake? Get his attention back to the job. Sometimes we all need that, but Jake was a good helper. Now, if Jake can be a good helper, and Megan can be a good helper, and Sarah can be a good helper, think how good a helper God can be. And Heather, when you get to working on school and your kids and your family and your house and all the responsibilities of life, you start to try to get a group of people to cooperate on something, and oh man, I can't do this, and all of a sudden you go, God is my helper? No, that's a question. We can boldly say, God is my helper, which is way different from going, God is my helper? No, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And now, because he's my helper, I don't have to be afraid. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. here I am running my Dusenberry slitter, and I'm producing 24-inch outer diameter rolls, 6-inch cores, of fiberglass. It's going to wrap around high-temperature steam trace lines so they can run steam in direction and still have a hot when they get there. Shipping this to Belgium, Brian. It's going in the truck, or it's going into boats. And these boxes I've got are about this tall, and they're about this wide, and it's 24 and 24 outer diameter, so it's that long, it's that high. And you pick them boxes up and go over and weigh them, and you take off your tear weight and keep the tally, and they're going on the ship. Now, I'm running that machine as fast as I can go. When I got there, 4,000 pounds was a good amount to get through the machine a day. I got 8,000 pounds through it one day. Yeah, one time in an hour, I did 1,000 pounds. And the guy that was helping me, see, now I had a helper. My helper would take that stuff and box it up and go weigh it. And I was producing it and putting it on the table as fast as you go. And he was this older guy, and he was always telling me about not working so hard, but work smarter. So I'm not cleaning up my mess. I'm just keeping my machine running. I'm just everything as fast as I can go. And he's going, oh, Bean, and that's what they all call me, Bean. Oh, Bean, you got to slow down. You're killing me. I say, use your experience to keep up with me. He was my helper. Now, he didn't really like being my helper, and he really wanted me to slow down. Now, I was a machine operator, and he was a helper, Cleon. And another job, I trained 6 different people in 6 years to do this job, and it was pretty comprehensive. And each time, when they started, for the first 6 months, I was responsible for any mistakes I made and any mistakes they made. During those first 6 months, they were my helper. Now, at some point, they didn't become my helper. They became my coworker, but they started out as my helper. And I always looked at that as being a step down. Now, I wrote on my paper, on my little desk there, my table, I kept my tools and everything. G-I-M-H. God is my helper. So I didn't have that person as my helper anymore. Now I have God as my helper. I mean, think of all the different applications and places and times in life where we could use God's help. And how kind God is, how gentle He is, how humble He is. What is man? What am I that God would help me? I don't deserve that kind of response from God. But I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. And God will only help us when we're going in the right direction, Anna. If you're heading in the wrong direction and doing the wrong thing, you cannot say, God is my helper. If you're heading into sin, God's going to help you out of it, but He's not going to help you in that project. So we can say the Lord's my helper. I want to just share a few places and times where God was a helper, and He puts all through the scripture different people He helps. In Psalm 72:12-14, He's a helper of the poor. Where He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in His sight. Abraham Lincoln said, God loved the poor people. He made so many of them. I think that there's a lot of blessings and benefits to having less. When we have less, we can appreciate it more. So many things are disposable and thrown away and taken for granted. I was thinking about so many things that we take for granted. You know, children, based on God's word, honor back to their parents. Honor due, honor is due. And we have gotten to a place in society where children have a bunch of rights. In fact, more rights than the parents. And children are looking at their parents and saying, I didn't ask to be born. Life is a gift, children. Ultimately, it's from God. If you're staring at your parents and saying, I didn't ask to be born, there's a big God behind that that you are defying, not just your mom and dad. You are looking and thinking, I have a right to these benefits and things that are done to help people out and have been historically programs of help are now looked at as a right, an entitlement. You bring a person into your house to help them out. And they stick around for a couple years. And then you say, well, I can't have you live with me anymore. And they get angry. And you've got to follow certain legal steps to kick them out because they have rights. God help those who are not thankful. The Lord is a helper to the poor. God help us to recognize and appreciate the goodness that He places in our lives. In Psalms 107:41, it says, Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction. He maketh him families like a flock. I used to always use the word the thundering herd, and I'd tell Jackie, I want us to have so many kids when we go somewhere, people are like, the babies are here! And she said, you better not say that. Has anybody said that lately? Maybe you can do it next time we show up. It'd be nice for me. He takes and he sets families like a flock. You know, there's so much of a blessing of having children, being a family. There's so much blessing children, having other children in your family. Then you can't be in trouble all the time because your parents have to focus on somebody else. God helps the poor. He also helps the prisoner. In Psalms 69:33, for the Lord heareth the poor and he despiseth not his prisoners. Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Lord helps the poor. The Lord helps the prisoner. Another group the Lord helps is the persecuted. In Luke 21:12, but before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. When Peter said we ought to obey men rather than God in the first couple chapters of Acts, he was living by the principles of the Word of God here. They had taken them for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And he boldly preached and rejoiced in being able to suffer and be counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that time, God gave him an answer. God is a helper to the poor, a helper to the prisoner, a helper to the persecuted. He's a helper to the penitent. It's those that have a broken heart. It's those that are contrite before God. In Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. In Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and holy one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. With him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord is a helper to the poor, the prisoner, the persecuted, the penitent, and the perishing. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are a peculiar people, and God redeemed us for that. Peculiar because we're different. What are we different from? We're different from the way and the walk and the work of this world. We're different because we have been saved by grace. We're different because we have a different master. We have a different destination. Zealous to good works. Now, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The Lord is helper to the poor, the prisoner, the persecuted, the penitent, the perishing. He's helper to the prodigal. You know, the prodigal, he already had enough help. He got all of his inheritance, and he went and he spent it. He found himself in need of some help. God's helper. In Luke 15:17, when he came to himself, boy, I hope you come to yourself. The end of yourself. The realization of God and his goodness. He came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Now, he was feeding swine, which is not very fine. And then he wanted to eat what the swine were eating because he was so very hungry. Now, how many of you have been so hungry that you didn't have a tiny little corner to spare and share with the dog? Did you have a little corner to share with your dog? Good, you're not supposed to. Right, Miss Danielle? But when I'm over there, I usually find that I have a little tiny piece for the dog. And every time that I eat, my dog's there, Brian, she comes over and she's a tax collector. And she looks real pitiful, but I know she's not. And I give her a little piece and share with her. So she looks at me as the easy mark, and she comes and checks out. Now, when I come in at night, late, she sets up a big ruckus. Wake the dead, practically. So you know what I do, Cleon? Take a couple of Ritz crackers, and I feed her a half a Ritz cracker, and I put the other half on the counter. And then she sits down, and I take a shower, and then I get out and I feed her the second half, and I take her to bed with no ruckus for anybody. But she's always looking for her little spot. Now, the prodigal son was so very hungry, he did not have a tiny snickerel of a crumb to share with the dog. He looked at those pigs eating, Have you guys seen pigs eating? I had these two pigs, and they were named Beth Ann and Starlin. We better not talk about that. We had two pigs, and they were named Making and Bacon. Making Bacon. And if those pigs did not get fed in the morning, you know what they did? They turned into billy goats. We made that pen out of pallets on edge, and that was about that high. And it's all around, and that pig would zoop right up the side now. Now, if he was fed and happy, he would stay in there. But if he didn't get fed, he'd climb out. Now, we would catch him, and we'd throw him back in. Now, when he was Jacob's size, it's pretty easy to catch him and throw him back in. You know, he's got, just throw him over the edge and boom. Now, I was a lot smaller back then, but tackling and catching a 200-pound pig is a whole nother deal. When it gets to be 250 pounds and you're trying to get it up over the top of 2 pounds, me and my cousin Herb, and we both weighed about 140 pounds each, it makes a big job now. Wouldn't you say, Denny? What did you weigh when you graduated? 142. It's nice when you grow up and gain a little weight, isn't it? He said, my father's servants have enough food and some left over, and here I am salivating over the food these pigs are eating. You know, pigs aren't particular about their food. The pigs love to make a little slimy mud. And what's in that slimy mud, you don't want to know. There's a little bit of everything in it. They make that slimy mud. I'd say if you have a spot and it won't hold water, a lake, you put a bunch of pigs in there, and the pigs will make that slimy mud. And when it dries, it'll seal, and then the thing will hold water. What's in that slimy mud is a little bit of everything. And sometimes their food would get down in that slimy mud. And the pigs would just dive right down in there and they'd eat it. And you don't know when they started eating their food and when they started eating their slimy mud. But they just, and they kind of suck their food and eat it at the same time. It's really, really gross to watch pigs eat. At our dinner table, we have one person that has more sensibilities than anyone else. Right, Emily? It means things that make you feel a little bit like, ugh, I don't know if I want to keep eating. And there's all kinds of conversation at our table that Emily stops eating and looks around like, oh. Sometimes we talk about Zach stuff at work. Sometimes just all kinds of different things. But the prodigal son, you know, you'd think feeding those pigs would be the perfect appetite suppressant. But no. He's so hungry. He wants that food the pigs are eating. Now, you don't want to fight a pig for food. I promise you that. The pig will win. Now, you might be a... Did you have pigs on your farm, Sharon? The 600-pound big old sow? Yeah, you can control that pig, but not very much. I mean, if 600 pounds gets moving in one direction, who's going to stop it? And they're like a Doberman pinscher inside of a pig's body. They're just fierce animals. You know, pigs have these tusks, the wild ones, and you cut the tusk off the tame ones, but they're still there. They still got that wild. They're still a wild animal. Don't let that Charlotte's Web stuff fool you. Pigs are not nice like that little Wilbur. That's very unusual. I don't know how that happened. So he has a plan. He says, I'm going to rise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of the hired servants. You notice this fellow humbled himself down quite a bit. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. and am no more worthy to be called thy son. If you come to God and say, God, I'm unworthy before you. I don't know why you keep working with me. I've disappointed you. I've disappointed myself. You ever come and just pour out your heart before the Lord? And he says, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf. You know what this means, Sarah, the fatted calf? It means they had a stall in the barn, and they put a calf in that stall, and they were feeding that calf. And they were feeding that calf to fatten it up so that they could make some beautiful prime rib out of that calf. They were waiting for that kid to come home. They were waiting for that son. And they just didn't have a prepared heart. They had prepared things materially to be ready for him to come home. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. They didn't have a walk-in freezer. When they killed a cow like that, they ate high on the hog for a long time. You ever hear the saying, we're going to eat chicken today and feathers tomorrow? That's because you can eat a whole chicken in a day. You cannot eat a whole cow in a day. It's kind of nice. You can try. You know, sometimes they would have to have extra friends come over and help them eat the cow before it spoiled. It'd be a sin to let it spoil, wouldn't it, Cleon? So they called together all these people and they made merry and they killed this fatted calf because the father was waiting for this prodigal son. We have the parable that Jesus told of the 99 sheep and the one that went off. He left all the others and went looking for it. And other scriptures we have where God is a helper to the pastor. He's a helper to the parent. He's a helper to the prayerful. He's a helper to the prostitute. In repentance and following and doing right, he's a helper to the Pharisee. The Apostle Paul was wondrously saved to the pilgrim, to all people, to the powerful, the publican, Matthew, sitting at receipt, to the perplexed. Now, one place where I never found anything about God being a helper was the politician. I just put a couple question marks after that. But we have the scripture, and what a blessing. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I look back through the book of Hebrews and see what other places God had given us boldness. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We have that bold invitation to God's throne in prayer. What a blessing. We can boldly say, God's my helper. Anna, if you do right and you set your heart toward the Lord and you're following Him and you want to do right, you can boldly say, God is my helper. You can boldly come to the throne of grace. You can boldly, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about a hierarchy of things and responsibility. But we have a place in Scripture where Megan and Sarah can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now, they can't twist that and do wrong with it, but as long as they're following and doing right, the Lord is going to meet them and He's going to help them. They're not going to have to fear what man can do to them. In Hebrews 10:9 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, we're invited into the Holy of Holies, the glory of God. A lot of times we want the glory of God to shine on us. We want to see the glory of God as He works in our situation. We might just have to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus and just see the glory of God for God Himself. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 and verse, or 3, 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have boldness and we have access before God. What a true privilege and blessing. You know, you can't get access to talk to any person you want. Sometimes you ever call somebody's house and they're outside and their phone was inside and you weren't able to talk to them. You called their cell phone and it was sitting on their desk. You called and maybe they had let the battery run out. Called my wife and her message says, "Oh, I probably can't find my phone right now." You called Abby. I needed Abby this week and I called her and my wife called her and then Ed said, "Oh, I'll just call her." And I said, "You're joking, right? Because Abby having a cell phone is like a joke. Her cell phone is always somewhere else and you call it and you get to listen to the phone and say, hey, I'm busy right now. Can't answer the phone." Huh. What do you have a phone for anyways? We don't have access. We want all people. But before God, we have access and boldness. We have the boldness that a child can have with their father. What a blessing. Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In Romans 8:34, what shall we then say? If God be for us, who can be against us? And back from this morning, in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Trust the Lord. Trust His word. Trust His help. I mean, you say, "Pastor, I could use some help." We've all got a place or two, don't we? You can boldly say, "The Lord's my helper." Or you can say, "I want to do it myself." Oh, just hate that. Let's all stand up.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.